Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, a new survey shows Southern farmers are being hard hit by rising fuel and fertilizer costs. Three Democratic candidates for governor faced off in a debate yesterday. And hurricane forecasters are predicting a slower than average storm season this summer and fall.
That strong jet stream really keeps vertical development of tropical waves from occurring.
Today is Thursday, April 16th. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. A new survey shows Southern farmers are being hard hit by rising fuel and fertilizer costs. The American Farm Bureau Federation published the report on Tuesday. It showed 78% of responding Southern farmers were unable to afford all needed fertilizer, the highest percentage in the nation. It said the region was particularly vulnerable because of the variety of crops typically grown on farms, the sandy soils, and a lack of cash and equity compared to other parts of the country. It said farm diesel prices have increased 46% since the end of February. The report also highlighted a Southwest Georgia farmer, Julie Hurst Hardy of Thomas County. She told the Federation her family is planting about 250 fewer acres of corn and about 700 fewer acres of cotton this year because of poor financial conditions going into the growing season. Three Democratic candidates running to become Georgia's next governor faced off in a debate hosted by 11 Alive in Atlanta yesterday. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Candidates participating in the debate mostly agreed on issues related to repealing the state's abortion ban, expanding Medicaid, and challenging the Trump administration on ICE activity in Georgia. They used their prior experience as elected leaders to make unique pitches to voters. Michael Thurman pointed to his 40-year-long record in Georgia politics.
I'm the only candidate that's run statewide, only Democrat that's been elected three times as Georgia's labor commissioner.
Keisha Lance Bottoms promoted her tenure and policies as mayor of Atlanta.
I'm not a new Democrat. These are issues I've been fighting for my entire adult life.
And Jeff Duncan, who switched political parties, said he stood up to President Donald Trump even when he was the Republican lieutenant governor.
We need a governor who's willing, able, and strong enough to stand up to Donald Trump and all the crazy, toxic, illegal ideas that he continues to come up with.
Former state Senator Jason Estevez did not meet the minimum polling threshold to participate in Wednesday's debate, but hosted his own Q&A with voters on social media. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Atlanta.
Fulton County commissioners have agreed to finance a $1.3 billion renovation of their troubled jail. The unanimous vote yesterday came despite concerns that renovating the facility would cost more than building a new one. Commissioner Bob Ellis touted the renovation's promise of a new 1,800-bed facility for detainees with behavioral health and medical needs.
The centerpiece of this is this Fulton County specialized care and detention facility. That is the thing which alters dramatically our current approach to what we have been doing.
The renovation is aimed at addressing jail conditions that the U.S. Department of Justice found violated federal laws and constitutional protections. Colorado State University hurricane forecasters are predicting a slower-than-average storm season this summer and fall. Their Atlantic forecast summary, released this week, predicts 13 named storms and 6 hurricanes, slightly fewer than the 30-year average of 14 named storms and 7 hurricanes. State climatologist Pam Knox says the jet stream over the Atlantic is responding to a shift from La Nina to El Nino conditions in the Pacific.
There's a very strong jet stream aloft, so this is about the height that airplanes fly. And that strong jet stream really keeps vertical development of tropical waves from occurring.
The tropical storm season typically begins in June. Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport says 1,700 job seekers have pre-registered for a job fair on Saturday. 16 employers have 200 jobs available at one of the region's largest employment hubs. Ahead of the FIFA World Cup, Atlanta leaders have announced a new hub for arts and creativity downtown. GPB's Amanda Andrews has more on how the ATL Culture House will highlight local creators during one of the world's largest sporting events.
The Arts Hub will occupy the former CNN Center downtown during the World Cup. It will include a performance stage, exhibition spaces, and vendors. ATL Culture House will host 8 days of arts programming throughout June and July, half created by the city and the rest from selected local artists. Executive Director Adrian Jefferson says they received over 400 proposals from across the city.
This shows what it means, how this is resonating, and what it means to Atlanta creatives to have a space that really represents them, and also that they have a voice that they want to see reflected authentically.
Events will include live performances, artist panels, film screenings, and youth workshops. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
Georgia Tech said this week it's finalizing an agreement with the Coca-Cola company to purchase property along North Avenue in Atlanta. The purchase includes a two-story brick building that's been part of Coca-Cola's holdings since 1988 and an adjoining two-acre park. The university says the transaction, valued at more than $31 million, will strengthen their capacity for education and research. The U.S. Department of Agriculture yesterday announced the creation of an Office of Seafood. The agency said the office would be responsible for coordinating across departments and federal partners to revitalize the American seafood industry. That industry in Georgia supported nearly 500 jobs and generated about $51 million in total sales in 2024, according to the University of Georgia Marine Extension and Georgia Sea Grant. Parkinson's disease is one of the fastest-growing neurological conditions in the world, affecting more than 1 million people nationwide, including about 30,000 Georgians. While there is no cure for Parkinson's, exercise is shown to slow progression of the disease. And so for some, Parkinson's therapy takes the form of time on the pickleball court. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
It's the first good weather in several weeks, and 63-year-old Norm Weichert is at his regular pickleball game.
One, two.
Weichert is one of the Parky Picklers. He plays pickleball Monday afternoons at the Center for Movement Challenges in Sandy Springs. Weichert was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in 2022. The progressive movement disorder involves nerve cell damage in the brain that leads to tremors, stiffness, and impaired balance. The players meet to fight worsening symptoms of Parkinson's disease by participating in sports.
Yeah, so I come to boxing on Saturday, this on Monday, and I usually try to fit one other one in during the week. But it's either that or sit home and watch TV, and I figure as long as I've got Parkinson's, I might as well do what I can to help the cause.
He says hand-eye-foot coordination is key to avoiding falls and winding up in the hospital with broken bones. Weichert drives about 80 miles round trip from Canton 2 to 3 times a week now that he's retired. Everyone in the Parky Picklers either has a Parkinson's diagnosis or is close to someone who does.
So it's good to be with people that non-judgmental, everybody's at a different stage in the disease, everyone understands what's going on, and you don't have to feel self-conscious about it.
John Medeiros got his diagnosis about 3 years ago and has made it a point to stay active. He joined the center when he heard about the boxing class and expanded from there.
I'd play tennis like other people. I'd play tennis and ping pong, and those are both pretty good adaptive things.
About 8 to 12 people show up every week.
Anyway, it's a good group. Not only is the exercise good for you, but you do feel a commonality.
Annie Long is the center's executive director.
And according to the Parkinson's Foundation, their research shows that those who are exercising a minimum of 2.5 hours a week are showing improved symptoms, better outcomes than those who are not exercising. So exercise is critically important for those living with Parkinson's disease.
Research shows that exercise promotes neuroplasticity. That means nerve networks in the brain can repair themselves and improve function by making new pathways. But not just any exercise. Neurologist Barry McCaslin says repetitive movements like walking on a treadmill or with an elliptical trainer aren't the best.
But something like boxing or Zumba or ballroom dancing or pickleball, they have large, unpredictable movements. And in my opinion, they have the power to slow down the progression of Parkinson's disease.
McCaslin says nutrition and academic endeavors are also important.
Attempting at least a couple of times a week in a focused period for about an hour to learn something new, and social contacts. sort of keeping a wide base of social contacts.
Stephen Sprinkle was in his early 60s when diagnosed. Now 74, he says he's lucky because his symptoms have progressed slowly. In addition to playing pickleball, Sprinkle lifts weights, rides a stationary bike, and practices yoga.
Both for physical maintenance and mental maintenance, or emotional maintenance.
The center is anticipating about 120 players on April 25th for the No Limits Pickleball Challenge. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
In Georgia sports, the University of Georgia women's gymnastics team is making its first appearance at the NCAA championships since 2019 after a strong performance at the regionals. The Gym Dogs coach, Cecile Landy, coached two-time Olympic champion Simone Biles and has revitalized Georgia's gymnastics program since leaving elite coaching 2 years ago. The semifinals start today in Fort Worth, Texas, and the finals are on Saturday. Braves pitcher Spencer Strider will begin his rehabilitation assignment tonight in Rome with the Braves' High A affiliate, the Rome Emperors. The Braves also have selected the contract of pitcher Ian Hamilton from AAA Gwinnett. Ian Hamilton has pitched in parts of six MLB seasons. In 2025, with the New York Yankees, he posted a 4.28 ERA over 40 innings. He has yet to pitch in MLB in 2026. Atlanta signed him to a minor league deal in the offseason. The Atlanta Braves are 12-7 through their first 19 games and will start a three-game series with the Phillies tomorrow night in Philadelphia. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. We have many of these same stories that you hear on the podcast in greater detail on our webpage. Find that at gpb.org/news. We always invite you to hit subscribe on this podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you have feedback for us, we welcome comments and suggestions at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. We'll be back again tomorrow with another edition of Georgia Today.